Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
No joke, I think I might have a cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
Reveille, reveille, reveille.
Welcome back to a Friday in studio edition of Zero Block 30. Chaps is still out. He's still somewhere in the boonies.
He's shamming. He's out there shamming. One show. I got it. You taking time. Now it feels like he's shamming a little bit.
I'm glad he's doing it, loving the updates that I'm getting from him.
I don't get the updates.
I said, hope you guys are having fun. He replied, we are. We went to a Mennonite roadside stand. I got peas and ice cream.
What the heck is a Mennonite roadside stand?
Amish.
Oh, the Mennonites, like Amish, yes.
Kind of. Okay. And a lot of times, like I grew up near Lancaster County, yeah. They'll just have a sign at the end of their driveway like, come through, and they'll have a bunch of veggies. No one's there, and it's like, it's honor system. Leave some money. Take some cheese and ice cream.
I think that's great, too, because maybe this is completely off, but I feel like folks like that don't use a lot of, like, pesticides or whatever, so maybe the food tastes a little different, maybe a little more natural.
Maybe a little fresher.
Maybe a little fresher.
Maybe
I don't know.
A little, but I'm glad he's getting those Mennonite peas up there out in the boonies. They're going to museums. They're just hanging out in the woods. They're doing all sorts of very wholesome, delightful things. They're watching Band of Brothers.
Yeah, they texted us last night.
Just two dudes in a cabin watching Band of Brothers. Could anything be finer? I don't know. But he is still out enjoying his birthday week and his vacation in Maine. So it's just Captain Cons and I. And it's always good to be in studio. We got Nick on the ones and twos.
Yo, yo.
Joining us over there. Mm. Yes. So we're going to jump right into it. Give the rounds out. Round number one. I'll be honest, I just wanted to talk about strip clubs.
Okay, I have a very particular take about them, so I'm interested to share it with you.
I saw a tweet earlier this week from about a coworker and strip clubs, and I started thinking about strip clubs, and some of my first experiences with them were in the military. I feel like they are, love it or hate it, they are a part of military culture.
Very much.
Very much so.
Very much so.
So I just kind of want to go through, no particular rhyme or reason to it, but I got some thoughts on strip clubs. Round two, sinner, MRE dinner. A cult church has been scamming millions of dollars from troops while the pastor buys expensive cars and vacation homes. This story is actually crazy. Mm. And these churches, there's multiple of them by this guy, have been building their own barracks, going around bases in vans and like pulling people in and to join their cult.
Like, hey, kids, bases. Free candy type van.
Yeah, like this story was so crazy and so bizarre. Such excellent reporting by Steve Bainan. Round number three, meth goofing. So you know what state we're in.
Florida.
Florida. A Florida man attempts to break into a Space Force base to warn of an alien dragon space war.
I didn't know Space Force had their own bases already.
I honestly didn't know that either. That's the main takeaway from this story for all of us. Round number four, we've got a major update on the Brittany Griner case as the White House proposes a trade for Russia's merchant of death. I prefer Russia's merchant of vodka, but okay. I'm not buying any of it right now until they quit fucking around.
No. Pink Whitney only. That's the only vodka we drink.
Round number five. What had comedian Jon Stewart going off on Twitter this week? The PACT Act mess down in D.C. Politicians fucking with the lives of veterans because we are just pawns. We're just pawns and no one cares.
Kind of sad.
That's not Friday.
It's kind of sad.
Any notes for you? Any big things coming up for you this weekend? Anything good?
Yes. To start, we're going to slip in round number six. Also, we have our colleague Alex Bennett joining us.
Oh my God, I'm an idiot.
Yes.
Oh, wait, we literally just sat here with her and did it. And some of these rounds will be super quick. So we're talking to our coworker Alex Bennett, who, as a McMap expert myself, as a West Point, you have to box at West Point.
So yeah, I didn't want to brag, but yeah, when you're at West Point, you have to take boxing as a class. Yes. And part of that is you have actual fights at the end. Like once you learn all the techniques and the fights and stuff, you have to do actual bouts against your classmates. 4-0.
Yeah. So we have a coworker who, on like a month and a half notice, has never boxed before, and she's going to be boxing in the next Rough and Rowdy.
We don't go into that too much, but that part's a little ridiculous. To train for an actual boxing match in a month and a half.
Some are saying she's braver than the U.S. Marines. That's why she's on the show this week. Yep. So that is the final round.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
But this weekend, if you're listening to this on Thursday, you're watching us on YouTube on Thursday, you got some time. If you're listening on Friday, you still got some time. Friday night, I am going to the punk show down in Atlantic City.
Yes, yep.
Our in-house band here at Barstool Sports, for those who don't know, it's Frankie, Roan, PFT, Robbie Fox, and actually Nick Hammy from KFC Radio is part of the band now, too. I'm not just saying this because there are our friends and colleagues. They're legit good. Yeah. I remember I went to the first punk show years ago. And I had so much fun. You've seen them, right?
Everyone loves a good cover band, and that's right. What they are. Yeah.
They have some of their original songs that they will play, which are also really good.
Yeah.
But they play, like, especially for people our age, they play, like, every good song from, like,
classics
yes,
you want to hear.
Yes.
Where are you? And I'm so sorry.
And Roan's voice with that, with those songs, it mixes so well. So I'm looking forward to heading down to AC to see those guys again, because it's been a few years since I've seen them perform.
Well, have fun. My baby dad will be at the show. He's kind of helping manage this particular show. And
he's so like the quasi-manager for their
the
summer
baby.
Tour.
Yeah, I will be home with the baby, which is going to... Or down the shore with the baby, which is like being home with the baby.
Yes.
Oh.
Anyway.
A quick note before we get started, too. I just watched on Netflix The Most Hated Man on the Internet.
So I was flipping through stuff on Netflix last night and I saw that, but I didn't stay long enough to watch the full trailer. What's that about?
This guy, I'm already blanking on his name, Hunter something. Hunter, who gives a fuck? He was this guy who started like one of the first ever revenge porn sites on the internet.
Oh, so he's a lovely human.
And like anyone could submit, and then he would post the captions like, roast this bitch, blah, 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 blah. And finally, it turned out he was paying somebody to hack into women's emails and shit and steal their photos without even... Like, some of these women hadn't even ever sent these to anyone. It's like, oh, I'm trying to lose weight, so I'm taking pictures of myself in the mirror. They would hack into their emails, steal them, and post them on this site. And these were teachers, nurses, doctors, like...
People who have...
Nobody deserves it, no matter who you are.
Right, no matter what your profession is.
Even if you have sent it to someone who you trust, like, whatever, no one deserves this shit. But he was, like, the front guy of that, and he kept leaning into it. The more people would beg him to take them down, he would highlight their begging. Like, he just was, like, a human piece of shit.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking about... I was like, oh, this is the civilian version of Marines United scandal.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah, and so I brought that up for me. Like, I started thinking about that last night. Like, I couldn't sleep. And I actually had messages like 2 years ago from Marines United was like a very similar revenge porn, like post nudes or guys looking for, like they would post a photo of a woman in uniform somewhere on the base and be like, does anyone have nudes of her? She's hot. Does anyone? And like all these guys, all
it's
these
terrible.
Military men
yeah.
would crowdsource and try and find her nudes. And like if she tried to speak up or fight out, they would make her life miserable. Like it was a horrible thing that was happening when I was in the military, like, half-assed tried to shut it down once they were finally forced to, kind of, whatever. But it's like cockroaches. It just pops up somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So like 2 years ago, I got a DM from an active duty Marine who was like, I just thought you should know I was on like the new version of it and they posted you and they're looking, they're seeking nudes. They're like, does anybody, this Barstool girl is a Marine.
You're, are you kidding me?
Does anybody have nudes? Does anybody have
Whoa,
shit on her?
Time
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Time
yeah.
out.
Yes.
That's horrible.
I know.
Have we taken this to anybody in-house who can like search this IP address and find out who this is?
Well, so the problem with it was this link to this site, because like in the most hated man on the internet on Netflix, uh-huh. the more people highlighted what he was doing, the more people also visited the site.
Right.
And victimized the victim. So the woman who messaged me, the Marine who messaged me, was like, I'm sending you the link so you can see for yourself, but I'm also really trusting you with it and where you what you do with it from here, because so many other women. So I clicked to see this like kind of hit out on me for like what people had on me. And the other posts of all these other active duty military women who had their exes had posted these things, or just them going about their business, not even knowing these guys are taking their pictures on base and seeking whatever. And it was just like the most horrific. It like brought up all the Marines United shit for me again. And I was like, oh my God, this is fucking insane. But she had messaged me. She said, I've tried reaching out to government officials, and all they told me was the boys will be boys mentality. I tried going through CID. Other female Marines have reported the site, but posts are put up daily, some being about female Marines I know personally, majority active duty. I've thought about paying personal money to do something about copyrights to get them taken down. I don't even have photos on this page, but it's that important to me. So she sees this happening to her military sister. She's like, I've got to do something. I tried reaching out to a couple investigative journalists, but I couldn't bring myself to share the link with them because I didn't want it spreading even further somehow. But
why do we need an investigative journalist? Why, like, or there should be somebody in the Marines in a leadership position who needs to make this priority number one. If you know this is happening to Marines in your ranks.
Oh, it's crazy.
This is horrible. And I hate to hear that the excuse is, oh, boys will be boys.
Yeah.
Screw that.
Right.
Screw that.
Or she shouldn't have taken that picture. Blah, blah. Have you ever been in a relationship, dude?
Right. But also to your point, like maybe you took some pictures for yourself and you just want to like, you know, you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to, you know, transform
whatever
your body
reason,
in some way.
You
don't need a reason. It's your private phone and that shouldn't go anywhere. I'm appalled by this.
Oh, yeah. So if you see my tits out there, that is why.
I know.
Because let me tell you, your girl has sent some nudes in her day.
Okay. And you know what? You're an adult woman. That is your prerogative.
It takes so much time to find good lighting. You got to move all the lamps. You got to move all the lamps around your apartment. It's really stressful. It's a really terrible thing. But one of the silver linings of this for me last night, because it really sent me into like a tailspin, I actually messaged the woman again who had messaged me 2 years ago to warn me, like, hey, they're looking for stuff on you, these military guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a really good conversation, and she said it's still going. The site has moved to another spot, and she's kind of made it her side, like, not hustle, but her side thing. Like warning. She figures out who each woman is, and she gives them a heads up and warns them and lets them know what's going on. But one of the highlights of this show for me, it's called Most Hated Man on the Internet on Netflix. One of the guys who finally takes this motherfucker down was a Marine.
Oh, that's awesome.
This guy, James McGivney.
Yes.
He saw that this was happening after he got
out of the Marine Corps. Oh, yes. This is the that we were giving you a hard time in the group chat about this person.
In the interview, I see him walking up to sit down for his first interview, and there's a Marine Corps flag in the background. He sits down, and he's like, I'm going to intellectually mind fuck this guy. He's
is
like
that what
really
he said?
At hacking and computer stuff and all this shit, and he did. He infiltrated the site by pretending to sell ads to the site so he could learn all about the back end of the site. And then he slid in and completely fucked the guy and took over the website. And it's amazing. So shout out James McGivney, the Marine. Sorry, that was a long.
No, that was awesome. I was just scrolling past that and I didn't really get past like 5 seconds of the trailer. Now I'm going to go watch that and shout to James McGivney.
Yeah.
And I'm going to apologize on behalf of Chaps as well, because we were giving you a hard time about you.
Last night I was like, note to me in the group chat, James McGivney. And you guys, you didn't know who that was. And you're like, James McGivney. Okay.
And we just started going in on different named James people.
Chaps like, yes, I remember James McGivney. Long drag of cigarette. Yeah, you guys are fucking me. You didn't know. But anyway.
That's awesome.
Yep. Him, James McGivney. This Marine.
Can we get James McGivney on the show? I'd love to hear from him.
We just started following each other last night, so I hope that is while the show was hot. But I'm reaching out to him today.
Awesome. Dude, good for him. And also, the ability to do that is so far above anything my brain could do.
I know. Yeah.
So I think that part is fascinating that he was like, because I don't think you kind of just stumble your way through that. He had to sit down and think, all right, how am I going to infiltrate this, get behind and see all the code and figure out a way to then Trojan horse my way and just completely blow it
and
all up.
And he turned the site into, he turned the guy's website into an anti-bullying site. So it still had the same address, but when you went to it, it was like, oh. James McKinney,
shout out to you, my guy.
The story is pretty awesome. And I just, after like Marines United and feeling like, man, it's just always so good to see like there are really good people out there. There's a great FBI guy, but it was him and one of the moms of the girls, the women whose nudes was leaked.
Mm-hmm.
This mom was like, oh, fuck no, I'm going to take this motherfucker down. So this Marine and this mom.
A Marine and a mom.
That's all you need.
You give me a Marine and a mom, and I'll win us a war.
But I guess I just wanted to point out like that stuff is still going on. And still, like, you'd think, like, he ended up going to, like, spoiler alert, he ends up going to jail, as he fucking should.
Yeah, absolutely. Scumbag. We don't need those people.
Like, that shit is still alive and well in the military. Just speaking with this woman last night, she's still active duty, and she said, oh, yeah, it's, like, absolutely. There's a new site, blah, blah, blah. I didn't ask for the link because I don't want to, but
And if you're one thing, you know, coming from a leadership perspective, you always think like, oh, how can I make an impact? How can I do anything?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in a unit, my platoon, all guys. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you hear things being said that wouldn't be said if there were females present. So if you're listening to this and you're a leader and you hear those comments, you got to step up and say, hey, don't say that. Because if you just sit by and you don't say anything and that you hear when someone's being disparaging towards women, it's a failure on your leadership. But you know, your complacency is a failure. So you have to step up. And I think slowly but surely you get enough of those leaders speaking up. That's how you impact the overall culture. And ultimately, hopefully one day bring down these people who are,
or assholes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's part of being a good leader. I remember I got roasted one time for, we had PT the morning after St. Patrick's Day. So on Facebook, I was a joke. I was like, I can't believe that the Marine Corps doesn't think it's important for me to be hungover today. It was a joke. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I got fucking roasted for it. Meanwhile, I had guys in my platoon like shitting on women Marines all over their Facebooks, and it was crickets. Like, nothing ever happened to them. No one ever said anything to them. And it's like, oh, okay. But yeah, you gotta please be a good leader and speak up and like squash that shit when you see it. Because if anybody tries to show you a nude of any woman or man, because this affected a lot of men too. It was like pretty crazy. But if you see it, be like, nah, actually, that's not cool. And you're a piece of shit. You're a dumb piece of shit.
Right.
Anyway, I just wanted to cover that. Now on to strip clubs. Now on to the nudes, the consensual nude dancing that we all want to do.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Actually, I won't even do this round, really.
No, just, let's talk about it.
I'll make it really quick. It was just a very random thing. So on earlier this week, one of the producers, Danny Conrad, we have this guy, Eddie, that we work with. And
I love Danny. Danny's awesome.
He tweeted out, Eddie just told me that he used to go to Heavenly Bodies strip club just for the fact that they had a good drink deal on Thursdays. And he said it like it was that great, like some crazy thing. But I retweeted it saying, I would love a list of strip clubs that are beloved for the extras.
Yes.
You know, like comfy seats, free peanuts, cool pole design.
NFL Sunday ticket.
NFL Sunday ticket. And I got all sorts of responses like,
really?
Oh man, this one down in Louisiana, instead of like clapping or whatever, they give everybody wooden blocks to like hit the wooden blocks on stage. So it's extra loud and extra fun. I learned who has the best steaks, who has the best hoagies down in Philly at their strip clubs. All sorts of people just had really fun. Men and women were responding to me with like really fun answers. But it made me think.
You need like a Michelin star guide, but for gentlemen's, you know, adult entertainment and the extras.
Well, I told Glennie Balls, who does the OnlyFans podcast here. What is it? OnlyStands. Yeah, of course. I was like, you should start doing like reviews, like going of just the ambiance, you know, like what.
Right.
Anyway, this got me thinking. That has nothing to do with the mill. Well, sort of. I do.
Well,
a couple.
I think it is. And here, I'll tie it back in two ways. Well, number one, there are strip clubs near basically every military base out there because
like to a flame.
Yes,
there's a lot of dick.
Young enlisted and young officers with, you know, coin to burn. That's one place to go burn it. And number two, if you recall, I think I talked about it, but I definitely tweeted about it, how I had that soldier who got cheated on, his wife depleted their bank accounts. She was a dancer.
There you go.
He had met like a month before we deployed.
I feel like there's several, everybody knows a few spouses who are dancers, which good on them. Fucking make money.
Hey, making money. It's legal. Make that money.
But I just wanted to go through a quick list of the strip clubs in my life.
Okay.
This is the dumbest round possible. I don't know. But number one, the first strip club I ever encountered was Climax out in it was near Indiana University of Pennsylvania, where I went to college before I dropped out and joined the Marines. Guess what was special about Climax?
Oh, comfortable couches.
It was, and might still be, it's the owner has since passed away. Nick Climax was his name. Rest in peace.
I bet that was his government name.
It was the only drive-through strip club in the U.S. of A.
What does that even mean?
I will tell you, picture a McDonald's drive-through.
Okay.
But it's looks like it's been old and abandoned in a nuclear wreck.
Sure, and sad.
And sad. It's that.
Okay.
You drive up, you pay $20. You open the drive-through window, opens, it's in the shape of a diamond, and here is a lady dancing for you, and you can do whatever you please in your car. It's extra if there are multiple people in your car. But yeah, it was a drive-through strip club, and there would be a line, and you would sometimes have to wait as the person in front of you did whatever they did in their car watching this woman dance at Climax, the drive-through strip club. And it was in the boonies of Pennsylvania, but we used to drive by it all the time, and so check it out.
Interesting.
And then the second one, Big Louie's outside St. Robert, Missouri, AKA it was in a strip mall. And this was my first, like, this was my first time with military people. It was MOS school. You only got to leave base on the weekends. It was so rare. But when you did,
Fort Leonard Wood? Yes.
For MOS
school.
Which
is an army base, yeah.
So we would all go to the strip club because there was literally nothing else to do in town.
Sure.
And it was funny and exciting and whatever. And probably horny,
but also,
for the guys.
But too, you know, at the end of the day, it's still also just a bar.
It was full nude. And so in Missouri,
there was no alcohol.
So it was like 100 military dudes just jacked up on Red Bulls who were horny. It was the weirdest atmosphere.
That's an interesting
visual. But the best part of it was in a strip mall that called itself Uranus, Missouri.
Mm.
So it had the Uranus Fudge Factory, a gun shop, chicken wings, tattoos, used to have a sex toy outlet, and then Big Louie's strip club. So, like, we would go get our hot wings. Some of the guys would get tatted up. You maybe get a little fudge at Uranus, and then you go watch the strippers over at crack a Red Bull and go.
Yeah.
And the Red Bulls were like $10 each and shit like that.
That's hysterical.
And then got to Camp Pendleton, the Purple Church, AKA the main attraction off Coast Highway 101. One of our sergeant's wives worked there, and he said he would rip our heads off our necks and shit down our throats if we ever went there, I think might be the exact
verbiage. Because as you know, I would say most of our members of our military who frequent these places, they go, they act like adults, it's fine, but every now and again,
and
you're going to get
weirdos.
Somebody who, you know, cross the line. So in an effort to alleviate that, you just make it so it's off limits.
Yeah.
Every base, whether Marine, Naval, Army base, they all have those places who are like blacklisted.
That are very much off list.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had a Marine buddy who swore that the strippers there, like, no, they really like me. He was that guy.
Oh, yes.
And one time they broke down. The strippers were going somewhere. These women were going somewhere. And they break down on the side of I-5. So I had to drive him to help them. I don't know how he was helping. I don't know. I just remember I dropped him off on the highway with these women. And I was like, I hope this is okay. This doesn't seem like a good leadership choice by me. My favorite, this review was fantastic. Mm. I was looking at Google reviews for some of these off-base strip clubs. Ajax, local guide. The spaghetti was always fantastic.
Oh, Chaps. Send him up.
I said, is this Chaps? Does he have a burner? Other than that, Rose was really the only girl worth looking at. Okay.
Okay.
Clermont Lounge in Atlanta I went to. It's the oldest strip club in Atlanta. It opened in 1965, and it had Blondie, who was 65 years old at the time that I went, and she had these enormous boobs. She crushed a PBR can for me with her breast and then slapped me in the face with her breast so hard that I had glitter like in my eyes for days afterwards.
Yeah, that doesn't get removed too easily with one shower. It usually sticks with you for a few
days.
Right,
it sticks with you for a while, but yeah. It was a treat. Anthony Bourdain got a lap dance from her.
Oh!
Back in the day, he went there. Okay. Also, only woman-owned strip club in Atlanta. Very cool.
Hmm.
Hoops Cabaret in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
When Pat and I started dating, we went there. He manages a couple musicians, and we went there with one of his rappers that he manages and all his friends, and I showed up with a green JanSport backpack, and I just looked like such a loser. I tripped on the carpet and fell, and then I ordered a whole burger meal, which I guess you don't order.
I don't think most people go to a gentleman's club, strip club, yeah, and order a full-blown dinner.
Yeah, it was a weird move, and then I was so awkward. Like, I could tell that I had made some weird moves, and then I felt too uncomfortable to eat my dinner. And then it was very awkward. And then
I'm sure you just apologized to everybody in the place profusely.
And then I was like, oh, sorry, I'm being weird right now. I'm sorry, I'm being so weird right now. And that was the night I fell and broke my nose.
Yes, I recall that night. Yes,
it was that trip,
after you got your pizza.
The trip in the strip club was a foreshadowing to a trip in the street later. It was the shoes I was wearing.
Wow.
Yeah, high tops.
I recall the first part of that story with the being in the strip club.
Yeah, and then finally you and I. Parking lot.
Oh, right.
The only time I've ever dropped, I work for Barstool, was to try and get after Rough and Rowdy.
Yes, it was after
Rough
and
Rowdy,
and it was after they had closed or they were getting ready to close.
Vietnam and Fayetteville.
Yes.
And we get in two separate vans with special forces guys.
Yes.
That we didn't know.
Yes.
I was like, this is going to be so much fun to go to the strip club, and it was closing when we got there. And I wanted these guys. I was like, these are troops. They got to get in. And so I was like, don't worry, guys. I'll tell them.
I got juice.
I said something like, which is so cringe. I was so drunk, though. I was like, you know, I could do a couple posts promoting your club. If you let us in, I work for a little site called Barstool. Ever heard of
it? Maybe you've heard of it.
So embarrassing. I've never done that again.
Dave had in mind when he started Barstool in 2003, yeah, that one day you'd be able to do that and leverage your juice.
We did not get in. Fun fact, like a couple months after we were there, because then we just hung out in the parking lot while I smoked cigarettes. A couple months after we were there, the parking lot got shot up.
Oh, wow.
Pretty good. So good for us.
Imagine how much cred we would have gotten if we were in a parking lot, and obviously hopefully no one would have been hurt, but if we were in the parking lot the night it got shot up,
a lot of street cred. Chaps would have been the only one.
Chaps, we would have been like,
you wouldn't have been so special.
Being shot at, just one bullet. Yeah, okay,
cool.
Cool, whatever.
We were in a strip club parking lot. Anyways, that was me talking about strip clubs. I don't know why.
No, because it is
let's
be very honest, it is very prevalent in our military's culture.
Yeah,
makes total sense.
And now that more and more women are joining the military, I would like to see more Chippendales opening up outside the bases.
Let's make it equal opportunity.
Absolutely.
But
it was just like men and women. We all went together, like as a group, like you and your buddies went, and it was just a
team
fun
building,
thing
camaraderie.
Do. Yeah, it was team building.
Sure.
Camaraderie.
Sure.
Indeed. All right, round number two. On to church. Now that we've talked about such things, we'll head over to church. This story is crazy, from Steve Bainon over at military.com. Mm. He and some other journalists did a ton of work on this, and some of the other rounds are quicker, so hang in there if you're listening. We'll zip through some other things, but this one is just too crazy. Ronnie Dennis and his House of Prayer Church, the church is called House of Prayer, they were known to the military community long before they were raided last month by the FBI. For years, soldiers had shared accounts on message boards of crossing the church's path. They told alarming stories of church members showing up in their barracks unannounced or encouraging troops to get into vans that roamed the bases. Fort Stewart in Georgia even put several businesses tied to church leadership on an off-limits list in 2017, talking about,
yep,
strip clubs and church groups. The House of Prayer had been approaching troops for nearly two decades. I'll ask this several times in the story, how this went on so long, I don't know.
Yeah.
Promising them a religious community that would understand them. And when you are, especially when you're new to the military and you don't know everybody yet and you don't always fit in right away and find your crew right away, you're very isolated and
yes,
it can be very lonesome.
For a lot of people, you're away from home for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just think, like, I remember one time I went to Fort Polk and I was on ADVON, so I had to go ahead of everybody else. And I was just by myself at Fort Polk.
Yeah.
It was so miserable. And I remember thinking one time, laying in my bed, I was like kind of sad.
Yes.
Like, I knew people were coming. I knew I wasn't there forever. It wasn't permanent. But I was still sad.
Yeah. It's still a fucking bummer. And
yeah,
so these vans would roam the bases. They'd see a loner walking and be like, you know, are you feeling alone? We have a really good community for you. Blah, blah, blah. And, mm-hmm, like, that sounds very tempting. But former members now say Dennis and his church were in the business of bilking veterans out of their service benefits.
Ugh.
Since 2013, the church collected more than $7 million in GI Bill benefits for Bible study classes, which former students and a former director of the program say were just small, disorganized meetings that provided no educational value at all.
So that's how they sleep at night. They say they justify and say, oh, we're giving them these meetings, and they're actually not doing anything. They're just taking their money.
Former members also allege Dennis and the church pressured veteran members to apply for home loans through the Department of Veteran Affairs so they could cash in on cheaper interest rates and then charge rent that was handed over to the church.
Wow.
So they would have these veterans buy houses, then they would take over. The church would take over the house, make the veteran who bought the house live in the shitty church barracks that they had built, and they would rent the house out to other people and steal that rent.
That's terrible.
Which is insane. Injured veterans were also coached on how to maximize VA disability payments, which would then be donated to the church.
And as we all know, I mean, that's tax-free money, so it's probably maybe even better.
They say this was another way God is going to bless the church while blessing you as well, said Rosalie Wright, an Army veteran and mother of four who was talked into spending her GI Bill benefits at the church. The FBI raided five of these churches, all right outside major military installations in June. So this church, more costly than the strip clubs that are popped out outside. There's the time. These locations included Hinesville and Augusta, Georgia, Tacoma, Washington, Killeen, Texas, and of course, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Authorities seized computers, church records, and cash, but have made no arrests yet. Law enforcement officials have declined to say what the arrests were about. Steve Bannon went to the church's Hinesville campus to ask about the investigation, but congregants declined to answer questions or comments. But he did take photos of it's the church, and then behind the church, it looks like a shitty motel. It's like a barracks.
Yeah.
Those who have left the church describe it as a cult that used high pressure and humiliating tactics to get them to remain and donate. And expert on cults described House of Prayer as a destructive authoritarian church. This is some of the stuff Dennis would say during his like sermons. God gave me permission to kill everybody in here. But, and he's a former, by the way, Dennis, former Army veteran. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So you know. God gave me permission to kill everybody in here, Dennis preached during one Sunday service, according to Wright, the Army veteran and former parishioner. But I won't because I love you. Dennis, an Army veteran himself, placed veterans at the center of his flock. He delivered sermons painting all those who questioned him as or its pursuit of VA benefits as threats. The former soldier turned church leader has amassed three multimillion dollar homes in Georgia and Florida. Meanwhile, he has built an insular community where anyone who leaves is shunned by anyone who remains. Many were told to live in church dorms so that they could be protected by the perils of the outside world, while their houses would be rented out and he would steal the revenue. Some said they believed Dennis, whose Army service included admin role in South Korea in the 80s, is no longer in Hinesville. They think he has left the country. He recently told some members of the church, have your passports ready. Arlen Bradeen, who served in the Army in the 80s, ran the Bible school from 2004 to 2018. He said, basically, it was built to bleed veterans out of their tuition. And the church, once they finally got, like, they were charging $300 for classes. As soon as they got that GI Bill money, they started charging $3,000 for classes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it burns me because a lot of good people burn their VA money at these schools. They used all their college money to donate to Dennis Rolls Royces. To impress VA inspectors who would occasionally visit, students would often be tasked with dressing up the building, bringing in desks, and bringing books in to make it look like a school. So this is like a thing out of like a sitcom almost.
Yeah.
Right? So, but how in God's name did VA inspectors come to this wacky church with dorms for the veterans and not be like, all right, this isn't a real school? Like,
I'm not sure.
Fuck.
I'm not sure. Because, I mean, maybe they did that good of a job dressing it up when they were coming. They knew they were coming. They made it seem like a very comfortable living situation.
There is no fucking way anyone who's actually doing their job could let this slide for as long as it did. Especially what they were saying in the beginning of the story. So many message boards were like, here's a crazy scam going on right now. Here's a crazy, like, everybody knew. And somehow, My tinfoil hat said, were they getting a kickback? Were they getting
something? Oh, absolutely.
Something?
That makes sense. That somebody
who's...
How the fuck
do you overlook this?
Well, that's what I think you're right. There's probably somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, maybe just don't look over there. Don't look at that church. And they were getting some sort of kickback.
And for anyone who's like, well, why does this matter? If you're a taxpayer, that's your money.
Right. Yes.
There goes your fucking money. There goes... That's what
Not
goes
to mention
the
all
bill.
These veterans who were just being scammed out of benefits they're owed.
Yeah. Just absolutely crazy. And this Bradeen guy who ran the program, once he figured out like what we're doing is super, super wrong, he wanted to break away, but his wife wouldn't leave the church. He described events where church leaders would force his wife to confess to sins she never committed. But after years of psychological abuse, he finally left and he had to leave his wife. He got home that night. All his shit was on the curb. He was homeless. Because this veteran became homeless because he left the church. The church's schemes to rake in money from the military's community service benefits, military community's benefits, went beyond the GI Bill. I talked about the home loans, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
One of the sadder stories, this woman, Jane Doe, they withheld her name. She was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and she said, they helped me out. They were there for everything I needed, such as a ride to Walmart. They were always there, so I didn't need my unit. So first... they see that she's like kind of lonesome. She got in one of their vans and they're like, come see this church service. She goes, they convince her she doesn't need her unit. She can rely on them for everything. Men started showing up at her barracks and pressuring her like, you're not coming to church enough. You need to come to church more. Violence was never threatened, but she thought that they were intimidating. And finally, they convinced her to leave the barracks and move into the church. And they would warn her that the barracks are bad, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, lots of terrible stuff happened. I just don't know how it went on this long. There's so much more to this story.
I think part of that, too, is, as we know, when you leave the military, you go from a life that is completely structured. Every minute of every day is accounted for, and you're told where to go, what to wear, how to act, basically. And then you leave the military, and you're on your own. So I get how they continue to find people to be parts of these churches,
oh,
but
no,
to your
these
point,
were active duty soldiers. This woman,
oh,
Jane
they weren't
Doe,
veterans.
They went into her. That's what I'm saying. They would go around the bases and find active duty troops.
Oh my gosh!
She said,
"How
she
are the
left
leaders
the barracks
this?
Despite Army rules forbidding unmarried junior enlisted soldiers from living elsewhere." They convinced her to move into the church, so she was hiding this from her unit, as were tons of other active duty troops soldiers. And she said it had a similar setup to Army barracks, including cheap furniture, bed, and cots. She would get done work as a soldier for the day, and then the women were expected to perform hours of chores and cook and clean for the church.
That's
and meanwhile, her
ridiculous.
Command has no idea this is happening because they've isolated her and convinced her that if she fucks up... Just, like, absolutely crazy story.
That's horrible.
Steve Bannon, Allison Alsop, and Thomas Novelli, they were some of the journalists who worked on this story. Hopefully what comes out of this is that they figure out how lax oversight can be fixed, because this so many victims like this didn't have to happen,
right?
If people were doing their jobs.
I apologize, like, because maybe because we were talking about the benefits, I assumed it was all veterans, but that's pretty crazy that it's happening to active duty people as well.
Oh yeah, wild story. Like, I guess you gotta look at Steve Bannon's Twitter and look at the photos of the church and all this crazy shit. But
it does make sense. Like, as we said, like, if you don't have any friends, and like, you know, just because you're in a unit with someone doesn't mean you hang out with those people,
right?
So you like, oh, I need friends. I don't want to be alone. I get it, but we need to figure out a way to shut these places down.
Fucking crazy. round number three. Speaking of crazy, Florida Space Force man. We go into this. Corey Johnson, 29, of Ocala, Florida, was arrested on Friday.
I'm sorry, that man in that picture is 29?
I wanted to point that out to you.
What?
He looks like he's 80.
He's at least 44.
29.
Wow.
29.
Kids don't do drugs.
I know. His arrest affidavit noted that he stole a 2013 Ford F-150 3 days before driving to the Patrick Space Force Base. Love a good rhyme. It just has a good ring to it. Patrick Space Force Base. Located in Brevard County. Anyways, he drove that stolen truck to the Space Force Base to warn of a battle between aliens and dragons, reports say.
Naturally.
He admitted to Brevard County deputies that he stole the vehicle while at a beach, and he did not know who the owner was. He was on a journey. According to his affidavit, Johnson said he was ordered by President Biden in his head to steal the truck and drive it to the Space Force Base to warn the government about U.S. aliens fighting with Chinese dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
The Florida man has now been booked in jail, where he was charged with grand theft of a motor vehicle. I'll have what he's having. One of those, please. Whatever that drink is, I would like a sip. Imagine being the MP on duty that day, though. And some guy pulls up and is like, I have a message from President Biden, and I need you to...
I need to see somebody right away.
Yeah, you know our alien army? They're beefing with the Chinese dragons right now. I feel like your best bet is to roll with it and be like, oh my God, well then you better pull over and get in here and tell us more.
Right.
Oh my God, yeah, absolutely. The best way to tell us about it, maybe put your hands behind your back, parade rest, and let me... We did around like a year or so ago, I don't know if you remember this, where we asked MPs and gate guards, because like any MOS sometimes would get fapped over to the gate and have to do gate duty for whatever reason. I know it happened to me for like 2 or 3 weeks once. I just worked the gate and I didn't normally do military police type stuff. And some of the shit people were talking about, my favorite was a guy saying that he was the designated driver out in Oceanside.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still like, I know when I would DD for the guys, I would still go in and eat with them and like hang out before I'd do whatever and pick them up later. So he gets back out to his car, which he had forgotten to lock. And there was a man in the back seat who was refusing to get out. And then the man passed out and was like falling asleep. He calls the Oceanside PD. They see his Marine. They're like, you're close enough to base. Go get your bait. They like send him to the gate to like have the MPs deal with it.
Okay.
He gets to the gate and the MPs are like, that's a problem for out in town. So he's like driving around with this man in the back of his car. I don't know how true that story is, but I love it regardless.
That's a great story.
I had a lady, the only like interesting incident from when I did gate duty, we see this car kind of swerving up. On up, it was the evening, it was like dusk, and we're like, oh, this might be, you get real excited because nothing interesting happens, you're like, this could be one, guys.
Yeah, because you're just looking at IDs for hours on end.
She rolls the window down, she has no decals, she rolls the window down, and once you get close enough to base, there's kind of no turning around, you kind of get funneled in.
Right.
So she was lost, wound up going right through a DUI checkpoint without realizing at a military base, and she swerves up. As soon as the window went down, in my head, I was like, that's margaritas. This woman is having some margaritas. She proceeds to tell me about how she was on this horrible date that wasn't going well. So she was just saying, so I had a bunch of drinks and now I don't know where I am right now. And I was like, ooh.
Maybe you shouldn't have said that to the military police officer.
You're going to have to head into the lot right there. Things are going down. Unless we forget the woman in 2019 who got arrested for going to CIA HQ and demanding to speak to Agent Penis.
I remember her.
Yep. She actually got arrested again a year later for doing the same thing.
Well, maybe she just really needed to see Agent Penis.
Well, hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're on to something. Perhaps Agent Penis is the only one who can save us from the Chinese dragons.
It's possible.
Controlling the aliens. Yeah. Something to think about.
You know what? It's just something to think about, too, with doing meth and drugs in general.
Sure.
I think it's crazy when you see people in the streets of New York acting completely out of their minds. And then you remember like, oh, well, that's what drugs can do to you.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, it's incredibly sad. I feel like we like joke about it because it's so sad that you kind of it's like that dark humor where you're like, I don't know how else to mentally deal with this. I'm seeing. But yeah, it's crazy.
Anyway.
Interesting angles there.
Yes.
Round number four. I'll just
Russia.
I'm going to keep this super quick. The Brittany Griner case, WNBA superstar, obviously being held on, well, I think it's like 1 ounce of weed oil.
Yeah, it was something small.
There was another hearing, and in the trial proceedings, she gave testimony that she was not provided with key info on her rights that is granted under Russian law. And she was saying, like, they had her signing documents. She had
they were all in Russian.
She had Google Translate out trying to make sense of what's happening. And in those moments, like when you get in an accident and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like you're not thinking.
Your adrenaline's pumping.
And
you're
so
not thinking straight.
You sign
straight.
Things and say things and do things you don't mean. She also said that she didn't mean to put the cannabis oil in her luggage. I mean, it was like 1 ounce. It was some small thing because she had been rushing and she was stressed. Like, so you whatever. And I saw people online be like, yeah, right, blah, 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 blah. I have several friends and relatives who have gotten to the airport, gone through, and accidentally been like, oh, fuck. You know what's in my bag from the concert? You know what's in my bag from whatever? Like, oh, my God. And you're passing the time. You're like, please, God. Like, I just saw a TikTok of a woman sitting in the airport waiting for a plane. And she's like, does anyone notice anything? I can't believe I just went through customs like this or like through the gate like this. She had a huge joint in her bucket hat, like strapped in, like a huge joint. Like, so I do believe like shit like
that happens all the time and not through any sort of nefarious intention.
And in the hearing, she's like, I'm not an idiot. I know what Russia's laws are. Like I would never have done this on purpose. So like clearly Russia is truly just fucking with her big time.
Yep.
But the big news here is that amid Griner's detention and trial, And after months of internal debate by the Biden administration, the White House has offered to exchange convicted Russian arms dealer Victor Bout, a.k.a. the Merchant of Death, for Griner and Paul Whelan. And Paul Whelan, he was arrested in Russia in 2018 and accused of spying, mm-hmm. and received a 16-year prison camp with possibility of time in labor camp. And the U.S. is also saying that's complete bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Bout, the Merchant of Death, is currently serving a 25-year sentence in the U.S. after being convicted of a conspiracy to kill Americans, to deliver anti-aircraft missiles, and aiding a terrorist organization.
I believe it.
Apparently, this guy has provided weapons to deadly shit all over the world and is ultimately responsible for all sorts of deaths. So, a lot of opinions about that.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you trade?
If we had to give up somebody from this country to get back Brittany Griner, who are you giving up?
Ooh, Britney Spears is dead.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be
sick
a good
of that
one.
Man.
Oh, and how about from round number two or three, whatever, Dennis, that guy Dennis?
Dennis can go.
He can go. We can get the guy from The Most Hated Man on the Internet, that guy.
Yep.
We can give him that.
He can get over there.
There's probably, we could think of like 10 people who are like, we'll give you 10 people, you just give us our one back.
And 10 of our worst to Russia.
Right, that's probably...
They'd be like, we love...
That's middle of the pack for Russia.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Anyway, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Biden was directly involved and signed off on the proposal. But the Kremlin has said, oh, there's still no agreement. Mm-mm. So... Who knows?
This is frustrating. I do feel bad for her because it's just
so
nerve wracking and stressful. And yeah. Who knows how they're treating her?
These assholes over here. That's what you get for bringing me to. Shut the fuck up.
People screw up bringing stuff in their airport bags all the time.
So
it happens.
Hopefully that works out and she is back. Finally, the last note before we get to Alex and a little boxing talk. Got to talk about the hot news in the mill world right now. PACT Act. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I have been following this. I know there's been a huge push to help veterans who have dealt with toxic exposures. Burn pits gets brought up the most, but there are so many, especially pilots, who are coming down with all sorts of crazy cancers, and it's always, it's like undeniable.
I mean, I have a friend, I think I mentioned it. She's perfectly healthy. She was a college athlete in great shape. She's battling cancer right now. That was very much just because of the burn pits.
Yes. And
it's so sad.
But it's beyond burn. Like Hunter 7 Foundation really educated me on the toxic. There's so many different jobs that are at such high risk and blah, blah, blah. So a lot of veterans have been working so hard in veterans groups and advocates to push through a bill to give us better protections and to take care of us when this shit happens.
To allow all of that exposure to whether it's Agent Orange, to nuclear stuff during the Cold War, to burn pits, to say and admit, okay, this is service connected, so you can have these benefits.
And it's insane that they've had to fight for the first place. Anyway,
right, because the science is just so cut and dry. It's like, this is bad stuff. These people inhaled all this bad stuff. Yeah. This is why they're sick. You don't have to be a doctor to know that.
Yeah, and like I'm sure like families in Hawaii who have been drinking fuel water for the last year.
They could tell you all about it.
So anyway, a surprise deal on healthcare and environmental policies announced by Senate Democratic leaders Wednesday afternoon produced an unexpected casualty. The comprehensive toxic exposure legislation veterans advocates expected to pass this week. The Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxins Act, aka the PACT Act, had been up for a procedural vote in the chamber, and everyone thought it was going to pass. The measure is a culmination of years of work by advocates to improve healthcare and benefits to veterans suffering injuries from burn pit smoke, Agent Orange, and other exposures. It has been widely celebrated as a landmark victory in veteran policy. And this was like from both sides of the fence. The measure passed the Senate by a comfortable 84-14 vote in June and a 342-88 vote in the House 2 weeks ago with significant Republican support.
That's where the twist comes in.
But on Wednesday,
life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Democratic leaders make this other deal that pisses off the other side, and all of a sudden, the vote goes up again. And it doesn't pass this time, basically. So on Wednesday, after technical corrections sent the measure back to the Senate for another procedural vote, 41 Senate Republicans blocked the measure. Republican lawmakers who had previously voted against the measure, including Senator Pat Toomey, reiterated objections to how the money connected to the measure, about $300 billion over 10 years, would be accounted for in the regular appropriations process. I'm going to level with you right now. I've already said about 70 words in this story that I'm like, I'm reading them competently. I don't know what the fuck any of this
so
means.
So basically, they went back into this into the PACT Act, and they changed some technicalities that these Republicans are saying like, whoa, 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 that wasn't there the first time. Mm-hmm. Now we don't agree as much. Because I think what people forget is obviously that the part about veterans is at the forefront and all over the news. But anytime any sort of legislation goes through Washington, they pack in all these other...
Oh, you can get a bill about like animal safety and right. dog-eared in the very back will be like, and by the way, this I get 700 treadmills in my
right.
house. Like, you're
right,
like, what?
Right.
What does that have to do with anything? But yes, all sorts of crazy shit gets put in. But this, in this particular case, the way I was trying to understand it, I was trying to just look at this as objectively as possible. It wasn't anything that crazy that really should have caused the block. And people are saying like the block came just as Democratic leaders announced plans for a budget reconciliation measure. And in response to this measure, the GOP caucus was pledging to oppose and increase efforts to snarl normal business in the chamber. Mm-hmm. So everyone's saying they're just doing this it's a political move that they're just doing to kind of...
And I think it's important to note, like they said here, they gave no comment as to the reasons behind the surprise move. So nobody like fully knows. I'm sure people...
But I mean, to me spoke some, many of them did. I was kind of confused by that because many did give comment on like, here's, you know, they put this stuff in there. But when you looked at the stuff, it was like, well... It's
right. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense why they would block it then. And then I think, you know, continue on with the story here. Why it's so important is because we look at the calendar and what happens.
The Senate is scheduled to go on a month-long recess on August 5th. And advocates had hoped to pass the PACT Act on the president's desk before then. So now this is going to be put off even further. And for a lot of these veterans, like, I don't know if you noticed, but like, the cancer rates are horrifying. Mm-hmm. And these veterans need help now and their families need help like yesterday. And that timeline appears out of reach now. If it became law, 1 in 5 living American veterans could benefit from the PACT Act. For veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the bills would establish a presumption of service connection for 23 respiratory illnesses and cancers related to smoke from the burn pits used extensively in those war zones. And so... One other thing, though, like I was trying my best to like look at this and understand it and sort it out because I don't know all the nuances of our government and the way shit works like I should. I only do a government podcast. Why the fuck would I know? But I also heard from like other groups like Hunter 7 Foundation had some reservations with this bill. They said, in reality, and from a medical perspective, we're disappointed in the lack of actual life-saving measures and methods that would be enacted by this bill. We were able to confirm no medical or subject matter experts were included in the formation of this bill. We also requested medical diagnosis and included cancers be reevaluated by the level of blah, blah, blah. Basically, they're coming at it from a medical standpoint. They said in the 150-page bill... Here's the word compensation was used 20 times, benefit 39 times, presumptive 60 times, screening 10 times, but prevention was used 0 times. And their biggest thing is, yes, like this bill will definitely help, but it's missing some really huge key parts, which is, and veterans were commenting on this saying, yes, I told them like, I'm not feeling right, blah, 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 but I still don't qualify to get the screening that would tell me if I have cancer or not.
Right.
And a lot of times catching it early, catching it, getting the vibe of it before Katie doctor, getting the vibe of a cancer before it really
like
comes
you thinking
strong,
maybe I got some cancer going on
is super important. So they said the medical, moral, and ethics surrounding this bill are painful for us. We need early identification of cancers and cancer screenings, not just within the VA, but overall. And this bill does not do that. And I'm just trying to give different viewpoints on this as I try and understand it. So even if the bill has good intentions, it's missing. So I don't know some key things, but at the same time, so many experts and veterans groups with the best intentions worked so hard on this that I do imagine there is a lot of good to it.
No, there's absolutely a lot of good because I do think it's almost like kind of two parts. And this is like the first major part and a major win. Like, hey, let's just get all the people that we know already have these cancers and have these illnesses. Let's say that it's tied to all of this exposure and get them the benefits they deserve. And then there's probably, unfortunately, going to have to be additional legislation to say, all right, now all those other people who served as an example, in, you know, the post 9/11 conflicts, let's preventatively screen them to understand if they are, might be exposed to these things and have cancer down the line. It just sucks that it just wasn't all rolled into one, but I don't want to lose the momentum and all the great work that these people have done to this point.
So John Stewart, who has been tireless in for post 9/11 first responders down at Ground Zero and for veterans, he tweeted this out. For veterans and their families and caregivers who will bear the brunt of this nonsense, this isn't over. We will never stop the fight until this country honors its promise to you. $6 trillion for war. No guidelines or oversight, but for veteran health care, let's play budget gimmick games. We live in the upside down. And he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Republicans and Democrats have no problem spending money on that fucking quagmire, to be honest with you, a worthless, crazy, horrible quagmire. Trillions, trillions, trillions. But when it comes time to take care of the people they sent into that quagmire, now they want to nitpick and blah, 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 when it's so clearly for political reasons.
Yes.
So clearly, and a lot of these guys who voted no, a lot of these people who voted no, like Toomey, you go to his Twitter and the background is him meeting with the troops. And it's like all, and I know both sides do it. You all want to use us to look good and to lift yourself up. But when it comes down to it, we're fucking nothing to you but a pawn.
Yeah, everybody says like, oh, well, veterans, that's a pretty bipartisan issue. And everybody loves our veterans. Everybody loves our military. Well, put your money where your mouth is. Right?
Yeah.
Stop playing these stupid games.
We fight your wars and we get you elected and then you don't stand up for us.
Everybody likes to use them during, you know, election season and to say like, hey, look at all the good work I'm doing. Great. Awesome. But do it when it matters.
Do it when it matters.
Do it when it matters.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling bullshit on the reasoning. I'm not, come at me if I'm fucked. I don't know. I'm being honest. I'm trying my best to understand it. But from everything I was looking at today, it does look like this is just bullshit political move, which sucks for so many people who were really relying on some relief. Finally, his final tweet was, not one of these stab vets in the back senators should get to leave for the summer till this shit is fixed. No one. And I agree. Okay, you don't like the extra things in it or whatever. You don't like that. Then you are not leaving for your nice little summer vacations until you sit down with the other side and you hash it out. And you do not leave until you figure this shit the fuck out. Figure it out. I don't know why that is so hard to do. I know they're not going to do it.
No, they're not.
No,
it's not going to make this August 5th deadline, unfortunately.
But I would be delightfully surprised if you did. Could you?
Yeah, maybe.
Could you do it
Think
for
about
CBT?
It. Do it for us.
Come on.
Hey, why not?
Anyway.
Could be good.
It's like poking them with a stick. Do something. Do something that's actually useful. I don't fucking know. Oh, this made me want to fight, so we should probably go on to round number six.
What's round number six?
Alex Bennett.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Here's Alex Bennett.
Now on Zero Blog 30, we are joined by the lovely Alex Bennett, does the Mean Girls podcast, and Cause I Said So, podcast with her wonderful mom, Kim, makes the best cookies, by the way.
I still haven't had a Kim cookie.
Yeah, still haven't.
What?
You're missing
out. Well, I'm not here as frequently, so I just need an alert, like, hey, Kim's bringing cookies today. I'll make sure I come.
I cannot believe you haven't had one.
I'm a cookie connoisseur,
too. She made
the
only oatmeal raisin cookie I've ever enjoyed in my entire life. It tasted like
I think oatmeal raisins is tough to nail, so I'm interested.
The girl can cook.
Yeah.
The girl can cook.
And when she makes her cocktails, like if she makes a watermelon margarita, she didn't buy the watermelon like from the store. She got the watermelon and like muddled it.
I love that.
Like,
oh,
fresh.
Yeah.
I love that.
Every Friday she brings me like a fancy drink. She gave me a spicy marg the other week. So then the watermelon vodka like spritzer last Friday. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I don't know what she's going to bring.
Yeah.
But another reason that we're having you on.
You're joining the army.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Congratulations on deciding
Almost
to enlist.
A year at Barstool will do that to you. You say, you know
what? Yeah, you're like, you know what? I've had enough Barstool. Maybe I'll try the military.
I don't know what else to do. I'm going to go do that. Yes.
But you are. We have in August coming up, and we'll let you promo it and everything. We have yet another Rough and Rowdy. We did one at Fort Bragg once with a ton of military personnel fighting each other, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it was
very cool.
The base actually banned. They like sent a mass text out banning troops from going to the fight because it was going to be so rowdy, blah, blah, blah. But people came anyway. I was outside like smoking cigs with guys about to go in the ring and fight, like who just did not care. They were like crushing monsters and rippets and like so. Anyway, it was a fucking blast. So I'm excited to see you in this. But you're not. Before this, you have like no boxing experience at all.
None.
What the hell made you want to do this?
I went, okay, so when my mom and I first started, which we're coming up on a year, so it was like last August. they were like, you should take your mom to Rough and Rowdy because mm-hmm. she will hate it.
Yeah.
And you can get a bunch of good content.
Yeah. Right.
And I had seen it. Like, I followed Barstool for a long time, so I knew what it was. And I was like, oh my God, she'll be in hell. We'll go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We go, and she's like, this is pretty cool. Like, I'm loving it.
So then why did we think she would be in hell?
Because, well,
picture bringing any mom to a Rough and Rowdy. Like, the crowd is crazy.
Yeah, but Kim's not a regular mom. She's a cool mom.
She's a cool mom, but she did, like, this really drunk guy boxed her out.
Yeah.
And was, like, spilling beer on her, and yeah. I made a video of it.
Yeah.
1 week from then, we got back to the office. He sent flowers here.
No way.
To the Barstool
so
office.
Nice.
Yeah.
He was like, content, Kim, I'm so sorry. Like, everyone, like, there just wasn't a bad moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're so much fun.
They're so much fun. The atmosphere was electric.
Yeah.
And I like, played sports in high school, like, you know, did intramurals. Like, I'm athletic and I'm competitive.
What yeah. sports did you play?
Volleyball was, like, my main one.
Oh. I used to be, a long time ago, I used to be an athlete. Played D2 college field hockey, probably the toughest of all sports.
Mm.
Played basketball, lacrosse, field hockey. Like, I played all these sports my whole life. I ran track. Constance and I have run marathons. We always have
Are
to
you
say
really?
It. The most Five. Winded, wow. the most quickly winded I have ever gotten where I'm like sucking wind tired was fucking grappling with my buddies in this rubber tire pit. Not even yeah. that, not even oh. taking it that seriously. Like, I was like, holy shit, like, fighting is hard.
I don't think people appreciate, and I'd love to hear your
yeah.
take on it, but how much cardiovascular energy it takes to box, to do mixed martial arts. So what was that yeah. like the first time you decided, all right, I'm doing this, and you started training?
Okay. So the first time, so when I first started going, we yeah. were just doing cardio, and we would do, like, technique.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, not bad. I can do it. I, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I can catch up on the cardio, good on the technique. When we sparred for the first time,
yeah.
and I got that first punch in the face, immediate bawling. Like,
yeah.
they had the stool scenes camera there, and I just looked at Nick Fasoli, who was filming. I said, I'm going to have to start crying. And I mean, I was just, like,
yeah.
hysterically. And I was like, I've just never been hit. And my coach was like, you got to get your ass back in the ring. And I'm like, okay. You know, but it was something about, like, of course it was physical and I was winded, but also, like, the mental aspect of being hit in the face.
Right. Yes. It's so not natural. It's so, it's like, it's such a bizarre thing for yourself to be doing.
And you're choosing to be in the ring.
And you're choosing to do it. It would be like me choosing to poop my pants right here.
Yeah.
That would be very upsetting to everyone. And
right.
It wouldn't be natural. Like, it'd yeah. feel weird. That's a great
That's
a
very good visual. So
yeah,
wait, what was it
like
getting hit in the face
pants.
For the first time?
It's like shitting in my pants. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's a good analogy. Yeah.
But I'm just like, it's really one of the most physically demanding things you can do. And you're like jumping right into it. Like, what, 5 a.m. you're up, like on the move, heading to the gym, like
sparring with these girls.
Yeah, can't drink, can't party, can't do any of that stuff. Like,
it's so good for me though. Like, I yeah. like that. I like, my coach said, next time a Barstool employee does that, because I'm training with the person that did like 5 other people here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he's like, the next time an employee does it, can we do like 3 months in advance? I said, no, it's got to be this crash course.
It yeah.
has to be all in. It's got to be like a month and a half, like every day. You just like
so
change
you've
your lifestyle.
Never boxed before.
No.
And you and basically, because what date is the fight again?
August 19th.
Do
August
you know 19th, your opponent
yet? By RNR.com.
Yes.
And what's the scouting report, if you're allowed to share anything?
When does this come out?
It
comes
be
out
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tonight, so, tomorrow.
Well, we'll break it here. Okay, so she
yeah.
she is a nurse.
Okay.
Only the hero of the, you know, past few years. Uh-huh. And but she's yeah, getting yeah. divorced.
Oh, my.
Okay.
So I guess she's
going
really
through the ringer.
Going through the ringer. I don't know if she wants
if
the
you're
money.
In the military, you're probably rooting for her because you are also divorced. Okay.
I'm married, so I have a target yeah. on my back.
Boo.
Boo-y.
Look
marriages.
At you with your
Boo.
Functioning relationship.
Yeah.
Who do
Must
you think
be
you
nice.
Are?
Loser. Okay. Yeah, I know he's going to come, so hopefully he'll help. But she's also yeah. a Huntington local.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So when we were promoing it, they were like, you got to say something bad about the Huntington local. So I was like, West Virginia trash. Like, that's all.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know her. So I'm sure I'll get booed. I don't know. She's very, they sent me a photo of her though. I was like, she looks very athletic and like built.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm a bit nervous.
Yeah.
I think from my experience in the boxing ring, you don't always want to judge a book by its cover, because I think people will surprise you. Like
yeah.
one of the greatest fighters of all time, Rocky Marciano, short arms, short, but he was 49-0 in his career, and
wow.
he was not a physically imposing figure. So I wouldn't put too much stock into that. You know, take it into account, but don't be like, oh my God, I'm gonna get my butt kicked because this girl looks good in a sports bra and boxing shorts.
That's true. The guy Devlin who runs it said, I showed her a photo of you and she was scared.
Yeah.
She's like, what photo did you show her?
Yeah.
But okay.
Maybe you like, drunk at a bar in New York City. Yeah, like, I had nothing to do with
it. It was like, what photo could you possibly have shown her? But okay.
But I mean, like, all right, that's a perfect example. Like, you're very positive, friendly. Have you ever been in any sort of altercation in your life? Like a bar, you know, scuffle, nothing.
Nothing. If I even say, I cannot say one word to her. If I say hello to her, she will have mentally beat me.
Yeah.
All I have to do, I said, when I see her, I'm just going to be glaring at her.
Yeah.
I think it was Mike Tyson that said, when I look at my opponent, I won't break eye contact with them.
Yeah.
And if they look away, I know I've won.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, that has to be my strategy.
Noted.
If she says
everyone,
a word
try
to
that
me.
With your gunnies.
That's right.
Try that with your gunnery sergeants this week.
Yeah, that'll work
fine.
Perfectly.
So what's a gunny?
Gunnery sergeant. It's one of the crustier, grumpier ranks. They're a little up there. They've seen some things. They're just,
what is your understanding of our nation's military? You just asked, what's a gunny? What do you know about the military? Yeah.
I was going to prep a little and understand it a bit.
And what do you know?
Nothing. Still don't understand
I don't know much. I don't even know the proper, like, could I call you guys something and offend you if I,
no.
Like, there's not, it's not military, army, navy. Like, there wouldn't be something that would be incorrect.
If you said I was in the Navy, I'd be upset.
Yeah.
That I would take offense to that.
Some people
absolutely.
Get upset when you call them by the wrong branch or whatever like that. A lot of people assume like I'm a soldier or something like that, but it doesn't bother me at all. Like, it doesn't.
You understand that they just don't.
That they mean well and they don't. Yeah.
Okay.
That has never, ever bothered me.
Yeah. I think Marines probably of all the branches are the most like proud to have been a Marine. And they
I will
stand
be like,
by
oh,
that.
Marines actually. But like, yeah, I can't help it. But I'm not upset.
And that's
I'm
like
not...
cool. That's like the cool. That's like, is that the Trump card there?
It's the best branch, yes.
Okay.
It's
okay.
The most popular one. The handsomest and the most beautiful.
We won't get into all that.
You were not a Marine.
No, I was in the Army.
Soldier.
Okay.
Yes.
Soldier, Marine.
Yes.
Got
correct.
It.
Correct.
Okay.
I didn't know when I went to boot camp, I knew nothing about the military. Like, I still had a belly button ring in and thought that would be cool at boot camp. Like, I had no clue. They had to cut it off me with, like, a wrench.
Cut it?
Yeah. It was one of the ring ones. Mm-mm. And I was just a gross college student, so I never got it changed out for the regular, like, dangler. And so it had just, like, cemented itself into my stomach. Oh. So gross. You should see the scar after I had the baby. It's great. You can... anyway, yes.
Besides us, do you know anybody in the military? Anyone in your family ever served?
No. Yes, but my grandpa and my uncle did. And other than that, because I'm from Oklahoma, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
I do know people, but none of them are like deployed, never deployed.
Yeah, yeah.
They
because they're always there. Yeah, because we've talked about how I was stationed at Fort Sill, which is in beautiful Lawton, Oklahoma. Gorgeous Lawton, Oklahoma.
Shady 580. Yeah. I know people that like work there, but they don't like, they're not like deploying.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But that was me until I joined. I didn't really know any. I had like an uncle, a couple relatives, and I knew nothing about it at all. So like people are like, oh, like I think some people get upset that people don't know anything about the military. And I was like, well, until we joined, we didn't really know shit about it either. So
yeah, I think people just have a very surface level understanding and they respect what it is, but then they don't go deeper than that. Unless I know there's some people.
Which I think is a good thing because it makes it easier for us to pretend like it's way harder than it is.
Exactly.
That's true.
And
shower that
like...
adoration all over us because you think whatever I did is what you saw in a movie.
I was going to ask you guys. I was going to say that the first thing automatically you just go to like I really respect that.
Yeah.
But the second thing I was wondering when you were talking about the belly button ring is I have those images of your client or you're crawling on the like that wouldn't go well with like a belly button ring. But then I thought, where did I get that image? And I got it from a movie. Is it accurate at all? Have you ever seen a movie that's accurate?
Oh yeah,
little
there's
bits
definitely...
of like little nuggets of truth in all of them, pretty much. But like they're not.
Some are very inaccurate, but there's a lot that are pretty accurate. Like, what are some military movies you've seen? And I'll tell you if they're accurate.
Trying to think of where I'm seeing these images. I mean, a lot of them.
Stripes is the most accurate, I would say, with John Candy and those guys.
No.
Honestly, it's kind of a real vibe.
Yeah.
But I applaud you for what you're doing. I think it takes a lot of bravery to do it. Like,
thank
it's
you.
A really scary thing
to
voluntarily get hit in the face when you're not used to it. And to, like, I think of times when, like, I've had to give a speech and your heart, like, when you're going out and you're the center of attention, you're walking out in front of a bunch of people and, like, your heart is pounding and it's very physical, but it's also, especially boxing, like so incredibly mental. And like you were saying how friendly you are on everything, but also you're one of the few people here who has stood up to Dave, who like doesn't back down on stuff when you know you've got a point. And so I think that's why you're a win in my category. I think you're going to.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you're going to crush it. I'm really excited for you. I think it's great.
I'm curious, all of our other colleagues who have fought in Rough and Rowdy, pretty sure to a person, have all had some sort of beef with somebody else, and that's what got them in the ring. Yours was purely motivated by your own desire to get into that ring. So what is your mindset going to be on August 19th, getting into that ring with this girl you have no interaction with, you have no bad blood against, or maybe you do now. So what's going through your head getting into that ring?
Okay, so it's 3 1-minute rounds.
Yes.
And I train the 3 3-minute rounds. Okay, so I'm like, I can do anything for 3 minutes.
Okay.
But also, I have a fear of going one. My therapist tells me all the time. I have a fear of going 100% because I'm a lot, because, like, that's where I can fail.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so that's my whole challenge with this thing is, like, we're not going to go 90% and, like, just try to not get hit. Like, right. I have to throw. I want to play, like, total offense.
Yeah.
Throw more punches than her, kick her ass, and just make sure I can do it. Like, prove to myself, like, you can do this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the mentality.
I think you're going to, August 19th, people can buy the fight now, right? Like, buyrnr.com.
Buyrnr.com. Please buy. I made an awful bet for $70,000.
Yeah, what's the bet?
We were on the phone yesterday. Dave and I were deciding the wager, and there's a couple numbers things we need to check. So I don't know what it's going to be yet. But he said, somebody got the numbers wrong.
Yeah.
Apparently, over 50 is really good for Rough and Rowdy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somehow, I took it to 70,000, which is like, that would be the second highest sold ever.
Yeah.
I have no inter-office beef. I'm like, what did I do? So the wager's going to be high because he's like, Alex.
Yeah.
So, but I want to hit it. Like, of course I want to hit it.
Right.
So
absolutely.
You can buy it. I think it's either $29 or $35. So I'm thinking.
Yeah.
What I want to do is make a bet with a charity where if they'll buy it, so they spend $35 and I make like a large donation to the charity because I'll get a big cut of it.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm trying to do that so I can hit the number.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's awesome. Cool. I think you're going to hit it.
Thank you.
Buyrnr.com. It's one of my favorite, like I've never missed watching one.
It's so entertaining. It's so worth
the money.
If you're
in the barracks, get your buddies together and put it on. There's boobies.
Oh, the ring girls.
Movies out there.
There
I'll
are ring
it.
Girls.
Some wobbly ankles up there in the high heels.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother's obviously, you know, one of our colleagues here at Barstool Sports. She puts your dad in a lot of her content. He's very prevalent. What do your parents think about this? What did they say to you?
My mom is like, this is absurd, and you're going to ruin your nose and need a nose job. And I'm like, she's like, and if you get a nose job, you can never fully replicate the way it looks now. And I'm like, I wouldn't be upset about that.
Yeah.
My dad, he was in town recently and came to the sparring.
Yeah.
And at first he was kind of like, mm-mm. And then when I started, he was like up videoing. And afterwards he's like, listen, you're going to need to get a little tougher. And like that kicked in. So
now that's awesome.
They've come around, they're going, so we're good.
Sweet.
But at first, no, it was not. I think people just need to see me do it.
Yeah.
Because when I say it, they're like, no, we're not fighting people. But now they're like, you're trying, like you're training. And so people come around to the idea.
Well, I find it inspiring. I might go for a speed walk today.
All right.
Maybe I will. I might stroll out and go for a speed walk. We salute you for doing it. And we're
Thank
so
you.
Glad you came on the show. You're welcome anytime. If you ever
I
got
appreciate
any good
that.
Military, ZBT, open arms to anybody.
Anytime you have a question about the military, I need you to text us and say, hey, I got a question, and we'll carve out time for you to come on the show that week.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes.
We'll okay.
Absolutely.
I will do my research
Q&A.
And I'll have questions.
Perfect.
Well, thank you very
Perfect.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you
for
Alex.
Having me.
Absolutely.
Yes. Huge thanks to Alex for coming on the show. Always a delight. Very quickly, one of my favorite people in the office. Her and her mom are just a hoot to
They're
have around.
Very, very nice. And I think, well, you can find people on the internet who hate everything. But I think by and large, they are two people that nobody has a problem with because they're just so
Which
pleasant
is what
and nice.
Matters most.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
People like you. That's what, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, that is the show. I'm trying to think if I have any saved rounds. Nick, do you, good sir?
Barstool Sports and 4Play have partnered up with Skillz, the leading sports skill training brand, to develop co-branded golf training aids that will help you improve your game. The Skillz Barstool Golf line was designed to help sharpen every aspect of your game from tee to green. The products help you develop your swing, whether it's gaining distance, improving accuracy, chipping around the greens, or dialing in your putting. All products are made by golfers for golfers. They were developed by industry experts who understand the game. Skillz Barstool Golf products are now available at golfgalaxy.com/barstool or in store at Golf Galaxy and select Dick's Sporting Goods House of Sport locations.
Yeah, I have one save round. I'm looking to do another race, and I'd love to do it, you know, anything that could benefit the troops. So if anyone out there has any races in mind.
Would you be open to doing, like, a mud race, a wacky race?
Yeah, I've done those before.
Oh, dude, I've
done the Warrior Dash.
Years ago, I did the Tough Mudder.
Yep.
That was fun. If you find one, I think there's maybe one in
October. I would love to do one of those.
I'll do it with you.
It's like 12 miles.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I'll do it with you. Find it. We'll raise some money. I'll do it with you.
Honest to God, I would do that too just for fun.
Yeah.
I would like to do something like that. But okay, so you're North Jersey area. If you know of a good, fun race, whether what's the distance, what's the parameters you're feeling?
I mean, anything under half marathon's fine.
Okay, anything under half marathon, if you know anything good, send it. What's your Twitter?
At Nikki the Good.
Nikki the Good. He's out there. Wonderful WWE posts. Cannot recommend enough. Anything else?
No, that's it. That's it for me.
Okay. Cons?
Such sad news this week about the Choco Taco. Because that's my number one of all time.
You and
Chaps
single-handedly ruined it when you said that is the ice cream you would stick up your buttholes.
Well, Chaps said that, and then I was more commenting on how I love Choco Tacos. Not that I would have done that with one.
Right between your cheeks.
Anyway.
Terrible.
President Biden, hey, over COVID. Good job. Yeah. Good job, President Biden. Got healthy. One thing I will say about him that's not critical, I like his suit choices.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't wear very understated. I think they're a little above understated.
Mm-hmm.
I think he always has good suit choices, so I'll give him that.
I hope whoever is the next president brings more razzle-dazzle to the... I would like to see more razzle-dazzle. I would like to see sweatsuits.
For his age, though, there's enough meat on the bones still there that he fills out a suit.
Right, right. And he doesn't look like a fat mess either.
Right.
Which is important. I actually, for who's ever our next president... I would like for you to not qualify for Social Security because you're not yet old enough.
Yeah. Be young and hot.
Be young and hot.
I would love a hot president.
How great would that be?
Last one was Kennedy, I feel like. And he wasn't even that hot.
Was Reagan good looking? Was Reagan hot?
No.
I mean, he definitely was in his prime.
But not when he was president.
Yeah, he was old
when
he was president.
Those eyebrows too bushy.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
So, wait, then is JFK our last, like, really good looking president? Or would you, I guess you could say Obama was probably, you know.
He was a good looking guy.
He had more swag than I'd say he was good looking.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
If you like Taft, if you like meat on the bones.
Yes.
I like a little. Taft is your guy.
Okay.
Something to think about this weekend as we roll in. Trying to think if I have anything. Maybe I'm going down the shore with the little guy. Maybe I'm not.
Maybe I'll see you then.
He's teething like crazy and I am on no sleep. And these are the times every now and then I invoke my military experience to be like, quit complaining, suck it up and do this because you've done sleepless nights before, you've done whatever and you've done all sorts of like military shit so you can get up and pour cereal and walk him to daycare and go to work. Like, come on, bitch, let's go. So sometimes your military service comes into handy. Other than that, I don't think I have anything. But it's so hard to end a show. You just keep talking and rambling, and next thing you know, you're dragging it
out. How's the weather supposed to be this weekend?
I don't know.
I guess.
Fun to think
about. How do you think about this?
Anyone still listening?
Whatever. This is important.
I like doing this. If anyone's still listening, tweet me a picture of a bird. I love when people do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And if you're still listening for me, tweet at me a picture of a pair of loafers you own.
Yes.
Do you prefer looking at the weather forecast and knowing what it has in store,
okay,
or just kind of planning for maybe about anything and hoping for the best?
Now with a baby, I do plan for everything because you just never know. They're just absolute wild cards.
Right.
So now I do. But I used to be a big time. I do both. I check it out, but I still plan for the worst.
I'm just always optimistic that it's going to be sunny and good, and that's just the mindset I take.
Who knows? Anyway. I guess that's it. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. Thanks so much for listening. Like and subscribe to Zero Blog 30 YouTube. Zone the Retreat.